This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The big question, when does China pass the United States as the world's biggest economy?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Right now we're going to ask this morning's big question, and it has to do with China surpassing Japan as the world's second biggest economy. But is China poised to become number one? Economic growth numbers for Japan were not as robust as was expected, and China has replaced Japan as the world's second largest economy, behind only the U.S. Marketplace's China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz is with us to talk about the symbolic importance of China's number two position. Morning, Rob.
Good morning, Steve.
So how did this happen?
Well, this is what happens when you're as big as China and you have around a 10% GDP growth for the better part of two decades. You know, four decades ago, Japan got to this point by promoting its own companies over foreign competitors. But China's become more integrated with the global economy. They said to foreign companies, come here and we'll make your products for you and develop our country at a breakneck speed in the process.
All right, Rob. So the U.S. is number one. I can't help but think that that position could be maybe in jeopardy at some point.
You are correct. Most economists I talk to think China will become the world's largest economy in a decade or so.
10 years. I mean, that's not a very long time, Rob. Is anybody scared about that?
I think it depends on what scares you, because, you know, here's the news flash. The U.S. economy and the Chinese economy have in many ways become one giant economy. American companies account for more than half of China's exports, and China is the biggest holder of American debt. You know, whether we like it or not, we need each other. I spoke today with China economist Andy Xie. He gave me a great example of how our two economies are intertwined. You might remember how GM used to call itself the heartbeat of America. Mm. Well, listen to this.
At some point, General Motors will list its stocks in Shanghai. They eventually will make more money in China, and it will have more shares owned by Chinese. So it's hard to tell if it's an American company and a Chinese company.
And, you know, this might be a scary thing for Americans worried about losing jobs to China, but this might make you feel a little better. We're already seeing Chinese companies creating jobs in the U.S.
All right. Marketplace's Rob Schmitz reporting from Shanghai. Rob, thanks.
Thanks.
Chinese shares were hopping today, up 2%, but Asian shares mostly lower today. Japan's Nikkei lost about 0.5%. European shares are slightly lower at the moment, about 0.5% as well. Wall Street Friday, markets capped a week of losses. The Dow down 16 points on Friday to close at 10,303. For the week, the Dow was off 3.3%. The S&P fell nearly 4%. And the NASDAQ, well, it tanked by about 5%. President Obama heads to Milwaukee today to talk jobs and the economy. Locals in Wisconsin's biggest city have been focused on one of its corporate icons, though, motorcycle maker Harley Davidson. Harley's threatening to cruise out of town if it can't bring down labor costs. From Station WUWM in Milwaukee, Latoya Dennis reports.
After spending more than a year in the red, Harley Davidson finally returned to profitability last quarter. But Harley is still looking to reduce its manufacturing costs by more than $50 million. So it's counting on union members to take concessions. Brian Jacobson is an economics professor at Wisconsin Lutheran College.
Most of the profitability came from their financing unit and not necessarily from building and selling their bikes. They need to find a way to make better profit margins off of their core operations.
Last year, workers at a Harley plant in Pennsylvania agreed to reduce its workforce by 1,000 people. Milwaukee Mayor Tom Barrett expects to lose manufacturing jobs here as well.
This is not a situation where I think that we can go through this unscathed in terms of the impact on workers. The question is, at the end of the day, will there be enough jobs and will there be enough family-supporting jobs? And I certainly hope there will be.
Harley-Davidson will make a decision on whether to relocate by mid-September. In Milwaukee, I'm Latoya Dennis for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Yellow Book 360, offering a spectrum of marketing tools for small businesses designed to go beyond yellow. More at yellowbook360.com. And by Vanguard, a client-owned company where the clients own the funds and the funds own the company. Learn more at vanguard.com.
Russian farmers can no longer sell their wheat outside of Russia. A ban's been imposed because of a brutal heat wave and devastating wildfires there. The export limits have raised fears that global food prices could start to skyrocket, sparking another food crisis, a crisis reminiscent of one that happened just a few years ago. From Moscow, the BBC's Tom Esselmont reports.
It's the third largest wheat exporter in the world, after Canada and the United States. But the fertile plains of southern Russia are parched, and crops are wilting under the scorching sun. With the grain harvest down by at least a third, prices in the country have already started to rise. But traders say other grain-exporting countries will help fill the gap, including the United States, which is expecting a bumper harvest. James Walton is chief economist at IGD, which analyzes the global food industry. He says fears of a global food crisis are premature.
The situation that we have today is actually slightly different from the situation that we saw a couple of years ago. Food markets are actually much better prepared for this problem. We have much more in stock. We've had a couple of years of really good harvests. So I don't think that there's any need to panic.
But it's not just Russia that's in a difficult position. Its neighbour, Ukraine, is also blighted by the heat wave and has predicted a poor harvest and may also announce limits on exports. Even after the wildfires are put out, the situation won't resolve itself. The Russian ban is due to continue until the end of the year, but could remain in place until well into 2011. In Moscow, I'm the BBC's Tom Esselmont for Marketplace.
And finally, the Wall Street Journal reports the New York City Police Department sent out an advisory about underwear with hidden pockets. Police discovered some criminals were hiding drugs and weapons in those secret compartments. One company that makes boxer briefs with the added storage is called Stash It Wear. The owner says he thought of the idea after he lost his wallet on a trip, and in 4 years of business has never seen anyone, even with a hint of illegal intention, buying his underwear with pockets. Fair enough, say police, but if you're caught wearing the shorts and you're suspected of a crime, get ready for some heavy frisking. This is the Marketplace Morning Report in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis.
American Public Media. The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.